Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Hey Thrive, how incredible was Apiwe? Didn't she do an amazing job? She does have a spring in her step. She's given a year of her life this year to come and serve at the church as an intern, an unpaid volunteer, full-time volunteer, unpaid. What an amazing young lady she is. And she's given a year of your life. Little did she know that this would be a COVID year. The year changed for her, as it did for all of us. But we're so encouraged with what God's doing in her and through her. And speaking about being encouraged with what God's doing, we continue to hear story after story, testimony after testimony of God's goodness and God's faithfulness to people in our church across both campuses, Edenvale and Boksburg. You know, we're just hearing incredible stories. Just this last week, two stories. Straight after worship nights, straight after our worship encounter evenings a couple of weeks ago, literally the next day, somebody got a call and a job offer. It was the very thing she'd been praying for. Somebody else got an incredible opportunity to be awarded a massive contract. A massive new business contract, like that one they've never seen before. Isn't it brilliant to see how good God has been? And if you're sitting there wondering, can God come through for me? Well, remember, He's no respecter of persons. He can do for you what He's done for other people. I'm praying that it's going to encourage you, that it's going to strengthen you, that it's going to give you fresh vision, that it's going to encourage your heart and your spirit, that it's going to lift your eyes, lift your heart, and help you to see life clearly. And that God would come through for you, that you'd be on the other side of a fantastic testimony. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for this time. Thank you that we can be together. Thank you for the privilege of being together at this time. Thank you that we can be the church dispersed and the church gathered, that we can be the church physically and the church online. Thank you that you're present in this moment through your word, through your spirit, to change lives in Jesus' name. Amen. A man called Ricky Jackson spent 39 years. Can you imagine that? 39 years in an Ohio prison for a crime he didn't commit. It's the longest prison term for an exonerated defendant in American history. And it's a staggering example of how the criminal justice system can wrong the innocent. Ricky was convicted at the age of 20 for a crime he didn't commit. And he was initially sentenced to death. Spent years on death row in a narrow cell with like this little slit for a window before his sentence was changed in 1977 to life imprisonment. He spent months on end in solitary confinement, and he spent a total of 39 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Can you believe it? It was the truth that came out eventually that set him free. You see, what happened is in 2011, a magazine called The Scene published an article about the frail nature of Jackson's conviction and about how unreasonable the testimony seemed that had actually condemned him. The main witness in the case, whose testimony was dodgy to start with, then withdrew his testimony, saying police had actually forced him into accusing Ricky Jackson and his friends. And in 2014, prosecutors dismissed charges against the three men, and Ricky Jackson and his friends walked out of prison free men. The truth had set Ricky free. You know, when the truth becomes known, it's powerful, isn't it? In our own country, we saw this, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, that brought so much truth to light. And as it did so, it unearthed a huge amount of pain, but also resulted in so much healing and restoration and reconciliation. The truth sets us free, doesn't it? The truth sets us free. I mean, we know how it is. Maybe you've had the feeling of feeling guilty about something and then you just need to come clean. You know you've done something, you've got to come clean. It's because the truth sets you free, doesn't it? I can remember years ago as a teenager, my tennis racket got broken. The reason it got broken is because I smashed it against the court. Came home with a broken tennis racket. It was tempting to tell my parents some other long story, but I just felt so guilty I needed to come clean. I had to tell the truth, and when I did, the truth set me free. Hey, we've all been there, haven't we? We've all felt the weight literally come off of our shoulders when we tell the truth. It's because the truth sets us free. by the end of today, you're going to have that saying, that line in your head, the truth sets us free. Hey, while we're at it, let's pray greedy politicians come to know the feeling of the truth setting them free. And speaking of politicians and corruption, I want to say this. Prayer should be our first response and not our last resort to the politicians that need to go. We should pray them out of power. That helps me. It stops me feeling powerless. I have to keep reminding myself that I can pray about that. I can pray that every corrupt politician loses influence, loses power, and loses their job. Anyway, back to the truth and back to the message. The truth sets us free. Jesus said it would. John chapter 8, verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, the context of the scripture is that Jesus is telling the people that to know truth, in other words, to know Him, listen, is to become more and more free on the inside. It is to become increasingly free of the things that hold us captive. Things like addiction, substance addiction, depression, anxiety, chronic worry, fear, anger, hurt, frustration, unforgiveness. We know the things. I know the things. You know the things that keep you captive on the inside, that keep you prisoner. But Jesus said, when you know the truth, it'll set you free. It sets you free on the inside. And why this matters and why I'm talking to you about this today is because there's so little truth in our world and so many lies. And I don't know about you, but all the lies around me affect me deeply. You see, we're consuming false information all the time. And that false information deeply affects our soul. The lies affect us. You know, just as an example, the other day I read a report on COVID cases in Gauteng. And it said COVID cases have passed a number, something like 50,000 or something. Big headline, COVID cases hit 50,000. But what they didn't report was that the number of new cases was dropping rapidly, that the death rate was dropping, that the number of recoveries had also skyrocketed, that the recovery rate in South Africa so far is 86%, 20% higher than the rest of the world. You see what I mean? The headline is COVID cases skyrocket. The reporting, though, was so incomplete, it was practically a lie. And this is true all over the show in our world. Lying is an epidemic in our world at the moment. We are being hit with so many lies. Not only do we have biased media, we have politicians and presidents of countries that go onto Twitter and tweet outright lies. In South Africa, we have people on the witness stand and the Zondo Commission. Tenderpreneurs squirming in their chairs as they lie blatantly to the judge. We have big business lying to their consumers about their products, lying to governments about their carbon emissions. We have tech-savvy information terrorists who create and spread fake news. Some of it's on your phone in that WhatsApp video you've been spreading, that conspiracy theory that you've been believing, created by information terrorists. We have spiritual entrepreneurs, because they're definitely not pastors, spiritual entrepreneurs lying to the world about fake resurrections from the dead, or telling people they can drink snake poison and live, or telling people they'll pray for them only if they give them a financial gift. Spiritual entrepreneurs, liars. The world is awash with liars. And the liars affect us, don't they? See, because here's the thing. Here is the thing. If Jesus said that the truth will set you free, then the opposite must also be true, that the lies will tie you up. If the truth sets you free, then the lies hold you prisoner. And we know that this happens in us, don't we? I mean, you've known it, you've experienced it just like I do. Just think about your emotions. The last time you read the news or looked at that video that someone sent you on your phone, or the last time you went onto Twitter. Just pause with me for a moment in this space today, for a moment, and think back to the emotions you felt when you read that or heard it. Negativity, anxiety, worry, anger, frustration, despair. These emotions surface and then they hold us captive. That can tie us up in knots of worry and anxiety and anger and frustration. The lies deeply affect us. If the truth sets us free inside, will lies hold us prisoner on the inside? Now, Hey, guys, I'm not suggesting that there isn't bad news in the world and in our country. There is plenty of it. Legit, truthful, bad news. It can be very difficult to hear. It can make us want to explode with anger and frustration, and it can make our heart break. It can, and it does. But what I am suggesting is that in our world, it's becoming harder and harder to tell the truth from lies. It's becoming more and more difficult to filter the truth from the sensational. And news agencies are becoming less concerned with the truth and more concerned with their agendas and how much news they sell. Remember, bad news sells. Journalists want to sell news, so they give you bad news. Hey, by the way, quick short left. If you're looking for some positive, uplifting news, head over to a cool site called goodthingsguy.com. It's called the home of everything good. It'll make your day. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Back to this though. I got thinking about the world we live in, a world awash full of lies, and how the lies affect us. I got thinking about how they affect us. And it occurred to me that the lies around me then become lies within me. Let me say that again. The lies around me become lies within me. Let me give us an example. We hear about corruption. Another case goes to the Zondo Commission. We see the accused on the witness stand clearly lying with a straight face. Their lies, the lies around me, the lies that get reported, then give rise to a lie within me. The lie around me becomes a lie within me. And this is the lie that happens in me. When I see a politician lying like that, I go, all politicians are corrupt. There's no hope. We're going to become just like Zimbabwe. That's the lie. Let me give you another one. We see some young political wannabe, guy's being interviewed on the news, and he's trying to make a name for himself, telling us how much power he has and that he's going to mobilize land grabs. His lies, because he is lying, we know, you know, I know, he can't orchestrate anything. He couldn't bring reality to his claim if he tried. But his lie gives rise to a new lie within me, and the lie is this. All the farms are going to be taken. What's going to happen to our farmers? What's going to happen to agriculture? The price of food's going to skyrocket. That's where I go. Can you see how we magnify things in our minds? How we draw quick and inaccurate worst-case conclusions? Can you see how the devil lives in the lies? Here's the thing. The lies around me can, if I let them, they become lies within me. But it's not simply the lies around us that can become lies within us. It's not simply the lies around us that become lies within us. It's also the lies that are lodged deep within us years ago because of what happened to us, what we experienced, or how we were raised. It's those lies that can hold me prisoner most powerfully. Those are the lies lodged deep within us years ago. And they sit dormant within us, just waiting to surface at the right time. And when they surface, they tell us things about ourselves, things that aren't true. But we've lived so long with them that they feel like they're part of me now. And they can hold us prisoner, literally tie us up. Those lies, they go something like this. Maybe you'll recognize one of these. I'm not good enough. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not clever enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not bold enough. I'm not gifted enough. I don't have what it takes. I'm not capable enough. Nobody could ever love me. Things are never going to work out for me. I'm never going to have real friends. Seems like I'm not ever going to find the right marriage partner. Can't see that there's a future for me here. We're never going to make it financially. Are you recognizing any of these? I'll never lose the weight. I'll never rebuild the business. I'll never regain what I've lost in this season. I can't do this anymore. I'm not worth it. I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. I'll never amount to anything. COVID is never going away. Life will never return to normal. Recognize any of those? See, the lies within us, those lies, they're lodged years ago because of something disappointing, disturbing, difficult, or traumatic that happened to us. And we've lived so long with them that we don't recognize them anymore, do we? It's almost like they've just become part of us. It's like they've become second nature. It's like they well up inside of us without us even noticing. And in fact, it's only in this moment, as I mentioned some of those phrases, perhaps that you recognize them for what they are, lies. Simply by me calling them lies is the first time you've realized that's actually a lie. What I'm saying to us today, church, is that there are layers of lies that can lodge within us. One layer is the lies from the world around us that then become lies within us. Kind of the lies from the world around us that we take on board, assimilate, and they become lies within us. But the other layer, the deeper layer, are the lies within us that lodged, took deep hold within us from what happened to us years ago. Those lies are lodged long ago, and it's these layers of lies, both layers, both of them, that can cause us to feel anxious and overwhelmed and depressed. They can hold us prisoner on the inside. Of course, I do know there are other reasons for why we feel so anxious and concerned and stressed and worried and overwhelmed. Definitely there are. And I don't want to minimize those reasons or discount them. However, what I am saying is that the layers of lies that lodge within us is definitely a massive contributing factor to why we're struggling so much mentally, why we're feeling anxious and worried and overwhelmed and hopeless at times. So turning the corner then, what to do? How do we get free from the lies? Well, I think firstly, church, we have to identify the lie. Identify the lie. It even rhymes, right? Identify the lie. Here's how you do this. Take a moment now in this time to think about the lies around you that have become lies within you. In other words, what news flow, information, influence around you is resulting in lies within you? Perhaps it's media or social media or a person, or perhaps it's a WhatsApp group. Every time, though, you engage with that thing, you feel more stressed out. That's how you recognize it. Then take a moment, going deeper now, to think about the lies that may have lodged deep within you, perhaps even long ago, because of something that happened to you or the way that you were raised. So as you do this exercise, even in this moment or after this message, as you think about these lies, ask yourself this: what's the story that the lie tells? What's the story that the lie tells? Now, as you hear the story, identify the lie. Here's how you do it. What in that story that you tell yourself is not based upon facts or evidence? Or what in that story have you assumed? Or what in that story have you exaggerated? Or what in that story have you believed with no evidence whatsoever? For example, I'll never rebuild the business. Well, where's the evidence of that? Or I don't think I can find another job. You don't know that. There's no evidence to suggest that. Or I can't find the right marriage partner. That's a massive assumption. You see how the lie has got exaggeration, it's got assumption. The future is scary. Those are filled with assumption. They're filled with exaggeration, and they're not based on facts or evidence at all. That's how you know they're lies. So how do you identify the lie? Look for exaggeration, look for assumption, look for lack of evidence. That's how you know the story you're telling yourself is a lie. Let me say it again. There's assumption, there's exaggeration, or there's lack of evidence. So what we're doing now, we're identifying the lie. I've just shown you how to identify the lie. That's the first thing. Second thing, we have to train ourselves to trust the truth. Remember Jesus' words in John 8:32 that I mentioned a little bit earlier? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, it's knowing the truth that sets us free from the lies that hold us prisoner. What I want to say to us today, crucially, there is one truth that really matters. And it's a truth that, when we really grasp it, deals with all the lies within us. It's one truth that has the power to erase the layers of lies. So here's the truth. Ready for it? Here it is. God is your friend. Now, perhaps, I know, perhaps you're thinking to yourself right now in this moment, seriously, did I watch this, all of this for that? Perhaps you were hoping for more. Maybe you thought I was going to give you something more profound. You're thinking to yourself, really? Is that it? Now, I know, I get it. It sounds simple, perhaps even cliched. Can I ask you to hang with me for a moment? Because that truth, God is your friend, that truth is not a cliche, it's not a line. It is actually a truth that changes everything in your life. Because it is the truth that answers the question that every lie throws at us. You see, the lies within us will always only ever ask two questions. Every lie in you and around you only ever asks two questions. Are you loved? Are you secure? Are you loved? Are you secure? Two questions. Any lie we tell ourselves has its root in one of two questions. Am I loved? Am I secure? You see, because if we know deeply in our core, like the deepest parts of us, if we know that God is our friend, and if we know, like moving from the head to the heart, that friendship with God came before the fall, that in the Garden of Eden, long before Satan entered the picture, tempted us, long before we fell for his tricks, God used to walk with Adam and Eve as his friends in the cool evening breezes in the Garden of Eden. If we know that God created us for one reason only, to be his friend, if we know that Jesus himself confirmed friendship with us in John 15:15. He said, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. Guys, when we grasp that, when we get that, when that truth drops from here to here, when it finds its way deeply into our hearts that God is our friend, a close, true friend who loves us more than we could ever possibly comprehend, that he wants to be involved in every part of our life, that he's that kind of friend, when we know that he is utterly faithful, completely loving, and always present, that he is that sort of friend, that if we could just grasp that even slightly, even partly today, if you could just by the power of the Holy Spirit know some measure of that today, that God is your friend, an utterly faithful, completely loving friend, everything changes. The reason why everything changes is because then we know we are loved and we know we are secure. We have just answered the only two questions that a lie can throw at us. Are we loved? Are we secure? You see, because then every lie can be dealt with. Every other lie can be dealt with, because the lies are only ever asking two questions about our identity and our security. Are you loved? Are you secure? But when we know that he is our friend, we know deeply within us that the answer to both of those questions, am I loved and am I secure, is a resounding yes. Reminder, lies hold us captive in only two areas, security and identity. Friendship with God, understanding, knowing here that God is our friend, changes everything. We know that we're loved. We know that we're secure. He created you and me for friendship first, before anything else. And when we know that God is our friend, again, when it drops from the head to the heart, when it becomes a deeply integrated truth in our lives, that God is our friend, we know we are loved, we know we are secure. That means we can answer any question any lie can throw at us. So much of the information that hits us is just a lie. Those lies affect us deeply. They affect us deeply in two ways, because the lies around us become lies within us. We start to believe the noise and the lies around us, and we start to tell ourselves stories, untrue stories, about where our future's headed. Second way those lies affect us is that years ago and in our past, in our upbringing and in the way we were raised, disappointments happen, traumas happen, difficult things happen, and the result of that is that sometimes we assimilate, we take on board, we start to believe lies that were formed years ago. They lodged within us years ago. But Jesus reminded us that for each one of us is available the fact that we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. There is one overarching, there is one global, there is one all-important truth that you and I must know, and more than know, must find its way into our hearts. That is that God is our friend. The reason why that truth is so important is because it answers the two questions that any lie can throw at us. Remember, lies can only ever ask us two questions. Are you loved? Are you secure? Well, when God is your friend, you know you're loved and you know you're secure. God created us for friendship. It is the highest calling of any human being to step into the friendship with God. Perhaps you're watching me today and you're thinking to yourself, God and friend haven't really been concepts that go together for you. God and friend seem like they were separated. Perhaps you thought of God as distant. Perhaps you thought of him as strict. Perhaps you thought of him as religious. Perhaps you thought of him as just remote, detached. Perhaps you thought of him as disapproving. Today, the very fact that I mentioned God and friend, and that God is your friend, is mind-blowing to you. Well, today I'd love to help you to step into friendship with God. It's a simple but sincere one decision. And that is to connect with the God who put on flesh in the person of Jesus. And simply to make a decision to follow Jesus. And as you do so, ask the Holy Spirit into your life. The same God who is in heaven put flesh, came to earth in Jesus. And when Jesus ascended, he died, was resurrected, ascended to heaven. He sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And you and I, each one of us, can have friendship with God simply by making a decision to follow Jesus. To say yes to him, to begin to learn what it is to be with him, become like him, do what he did, and to invite the presence of God into our lives, to open our hearts. I'd love to lead you in a prayer for that right now in this moment. Shall we pray together? Would you join me? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can remind ourselves today, we can be reminded, and for some of us, it's the first time that truth has ever hit us, that you are our friend. You desire friendship with us. Today, I want to make a decision to say yes to you. I've never made a decision before like that. I want to make a decision to say yes to you. I want to make a decision to follow you, Jesus. Don't understand fully what that means, but I do sense and feel in this moment a pull towards that. I ask you, please, in this moment, to enter my life, Holy Spirit, to forgive me for where I've gone wrong, forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. And I ask you to come into my life and to begin to take the reins, to take the wheel of my life and to begin to write a new story with my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we prayed today, I know that for some of you, that was a decision that you've never made before, but you've made now in this moment. What an amazing decision. Honestly, the highest calling of any human being is to make that decision. Also know that for some of you, maybe life has been a little wayward. You've walked and wondered and walked passively away from God and thought to yourself, I wonder if I could ever find my way back. And in this moment, you've done that. And we want to congratulate you and we want to encourage you in that. So whether you made that decision to connect with God and follow Jesus for the first time today or whether it was a decision to come back, we want to say a warm congratulations to you. We want to encourage you and we'd love the opportunity to do that. The way you can do this in this online space is just to WhatsApp the words follow Jesus to the number on the screen right now. Or if you're watching on the Church Online platform, you can click on the raised hand icon. And that'll allow us simply to be able to connect with you online and send you some first steps. Just send you some helpful information. We'd love the privilege of that. Hey, church, as we head into this week, can I encourage you? Can I remind you? Can I ask you, please, don't let the lies get to you. Don't let the lies around you become lies within you. Remember, we have the truth. The truth sets us free. What's the truth? God is your friend. Therefore, you are loved. Therefore, you are secure. Your future is bright because of him and in his name. Have an amazing week, everybody. Grace and peace to each of you and your beautiful families. Love you. Can't wait to see you again physically soon.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.